The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And we begin with breaking news. The New England Patriots are finalizing a one-year deal worth close to $14 million with Cam Newton. He is on his way back to New England after a season there. This first reported by the Boston Globe and subsequently confirmed by our reporters here at ESPN. Cam, who had an up-and-down one season in New England, will come back as an option, but certainly not cemented as the starting quarterback, we would not think. And here is Mike Reese, who does such a terrific job covering the Patriots for us. Mike, what should we make of this? Cam back for a season.
Well, Greeny, the main point, timing matters. The Patriots clearly wanted to get one piece at quarterback in place before free agency started. They have a lot of cap space to manipulate and to, you know, see what's out there. But if they're talking to receivers and tight ends, those players going to want to know who's throwing them the football. And by bringing Cam back, it was something that the Patriots had in their control. We've talked about other options on the show, like Jimmy Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota, but those dominoes, they're out of the Patriots' control. Here's Cam, who wanted to be back, that's in the Patriots' control, and they say, let's take control of this situation.
I get it. And so now I'm going to ask you to do something that all reporters hate to do, and that is to guess. So how would you assess the likelihood that Cam Newton winds up being QB1 when the season begins?
Well, Greeny, I would say this. Look at the numbers from last year, and what do they tell us? The Patriots were 30th in the NFL in passing yards per game, 30th in terms of highest interception percentage, 27th in total yards, and 27th in points scored. If the Patriots thought that Cam Newton was the main reason for that, would they have brought him back? I would say no. So to me, what this tells me is they're going to go out and put better weapons around Cam Newton and see what that looks like. And they'll also leave themselves a little bit of flexibility should an unexpected opportunity pop up down the road that is out of their control. But for now, I would say it will be Cam.
Flexibility is an interesting word, but I'm interested to hear you say that. For now, it does appear it could be Cam. No one is closer to this stuff than Mike Reese is. Mike, thank you very much. Let me bring the crew back in here. For those of you just joining us, I have Tim Hasselbeck, Dan Graziano, and Bart Scott. And let's be fair to Cam. Again, this was a season last year in which there was no training camp. There were no preseason games. He got there basically right before camp began. It was all truncated. Then after the season began, he got the coronavirus and did not seem to be himself when he returned. There are a lot of reasons we could point to, if we want to, why it didn't go well. So, Tim, you just heard Mike Reese say right now he thinks there's a real chance it will be Cam. Do you see it that way?
I guess there's a shot if they don't get the guys that they want, whether it's in the draft or some other, you know, way of acquiring a quarterback. Look, the deal looks like, as the numbers, you know, preliminarily come in, you know, 1 year, $14 million, like worth up to. So there's going to be incentive later. So if you're down around the $10 million range for your starting quarterback, you're at the bottom of the league in terms of that, especially if you're not, if you don't have a rookie quarterback. So look, our quarterback on his rookie contract. So to me, look, I guess it's an option. I can't imagine it's the option that New England would prefer. So could I see it as, look, he starts and they drafted somebody high? Yeah, potentially. But to me, they're not a threat with Cam Newton as their starting quarterback. I understand what you're saying about last year. But truth of the matter is Cam has not had a good season since 2018.
What do you think, Bart?
Well, I think Cam can be a quarterback for them. I think we're not mentioning the fact that they brought back Trent Brown. We know that Isaiah Wynn is a stud as well. And, you know, you think about them trying to run the ball, but can Cam body hold up? I mean, when you only sign a quarterback to a one-year deal, you treat him like a rental car. You don't care if he gets hurt. You don't care if his cigarettes McDonald's spilt in the back seat. You know, so if they want to go that route and go through defense, they have a tremendous amount of money to try and build the roster around them. This is an old roster that they're going to have to try and improve and get young. They got old and expensive very fast And now they have a lot of salary cap space where they can kind of get depth at positions and win the way New England used to be, you know, before Tom Brady, and they really kind of decided to let him win, you know, win with defense, win with running the ball. And if you have to, you know, end Cam Newton's career, who cares? So be it. You know, you only got him to a one-year deal. You'll get all the tread off the tires.
So, Graziano, let me then come to you. We talk about the other options. Let's go through those. What do those seem to be? What other places might New England go from here to find other quarterbacks?
Well, you heard Mike Reese reference a few. And, I mean, look, there's not a ton left on the market. There are some potentially interesting options, such as Marcus Mariota, who's been available in trade from the Raiders and could end up being cut and available to be signed. You know, I mean, Alex Smith was recently cut by Washington. He's a guy that still wants to play. Could they find a way to get their old friend Jimmy Garoppolo back from the 49ers? That would depend on what the 49ers found in terms of other options besides Garoppolo. So, you know, this is Belichick and the Patriots operate by playing the percentages, right? Like, it's not, they're not going to lock in on one option unless it's Tom Brady. They're going to give themselves a potential, you know, to maximize their potential for success. And so this is one option that they feel good about. If something else better comes along, I'm sure they're positioned to go that way. But right now, look, Mike made the point. Free agency next week. You want to sign wide receivers? You want to sign tight ends? They're going to say, who's throwing me the ball? You don't have an answer as of yesterday. As of today, you have one that sounds pretty interesting to some people.
Yes, correct. As you, the point you made earlier, a lot of, but Cam is popular around the league. Other players like him. There may be other players, regardless of what we think as analysts, other players who might be interested in playing with him. Okay, so now let's make some predictions of what we expect to happen when free agency does begin next week. We'll go on the clock. We'll give you 30 seconds. I'm looking for a bold prediction about free agency this year. Tim Hasselbeck, I will start with you. Bold prediction, 30 seconds, go.
Well, I'm going to go with Aaron Jones, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, ending up with the Miami Dolphins. He is a really talented player, excellent runner, probably better than people realize out of the backfield. I think he's, you know, a 1,500-plus guy in terms of all-purpose yards, and it's really what Miami needs. They don't have a lot of resources spent already at the running back position. They do have money to spend. I think Aaron Jones to Miami is a great fit.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I'm sure wherever he is right now, Aaron Rodgers is not in a good mood hearing you say that. Next up is Dan Graziano. 30 seconds on the clock. Bold prediction for free agency. Danny, go.
Give me Kenny Golladay, the wide receiver, to the Baltimore Ravens. They obviously need significant help at that position. This is a player in Golladay who, with Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin having been franchised, looks like possibly the top wide receiver available on the market. He will generate interest. There are teams that are looking for a number one wide receiver type and could perceive him that way and throw some money at him. The Patriots are one of those teams. The New York Giants could be in the mix for a player like this. But Baltimore needs a receiver that Lamar Jackson can rely on, and this is a guy that could be very appealing.
That's a fascinating one. I have a feeling Bart Scott would be interested in seeing that happen as well. But Bart, I come to you for your bold prediction. 30 seconds, go.
Well, let's put Aaron Rodgers in a better move since he's going to lose his favorite running back to the Miami Dolphins. You know, they have A.J. Dillon, but let's get him a weapon, something that they tried to get last year, Will Fuller, a player that can stretch the football field when healthy, is a dynamic receiver to put opposite a Devontae Adams, will allow him to be able to utilize the entire field. You know, Aaron Rodgers is in his moment. He's trying to get an MVP. They pissed him off last year by taking Jordan Love. This offseason, they get him a weapon, give him a new shiny toy.
I love it. I mean, anybody who plays fantasy knows that Will Fuller is two touchdowns three times a week and a home run hitter nonpareil in the NFL. I like all those a lot. We'll see. It all begins next week. Stay with me. We're just getting rolling here in this hour of Get Up as we continue. Now that the Cowboys have signed Dak, who should replace Dallas on Russell Wilson's list of places he would go? We will talk about that and about this. It's gone from bad to worse. Are the Texans any closer to trading Deshaun? You have to see two awkward exchanges involving their coach yesterday. You will get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And I think Russell Wilson kind of looks around the league. You know, when we talk about the best of the best, you know, we don't always include him. And the reality is he's been outstanding, almost as good as anybody, and he's carried that team. So I think the idea to go somewhere like Miami, I think is a market he would like to play in and like to kind of be recognized in. So I think he's going to handle it differently. I don't know he's going to be unhappy enough that it forces Seattle's hand, though.
You know, and so we have mentioned Miami, Bart, really quickly. We've mentioned Miami in connection to Deshaun Watson. We've mentioned Miami in connection to Russell Wilson. One way or another, this has to happen before the draft. Yes, if this is going to happen, it should happen before the draft. Bart, would that be your expectation? This cannot go on all the way to the season?
Yeah, we'll have to go before the draft because you want the proper compensation to improve your football team this year. You think about two of the teams that have two first-round draft picks. You think about Miami. You think about the Jets. But the Jets, I think, are going to stay pat. But, you know, definitely I think Russell Wilson has done enough in Seattle. He has nothing more to prove. I think they may try and grant him his wishes if he continues to be that squeaky wheel. He's been quiet. You know, sometimes when you don't hear any noise, that means some things are working behind the scenes.
That's the other factor with Miami. They have the third pick in the draft, so they could offer Tua. They could offer that third pick. You can get a quarterback either one of those ways. Guys, stay with me. Much more football as we go. But now we run the floor. College basketball, remember, Selection Sunday. Now 2 days away, and Duke will not be a part of it. The Blue Devils have withdrawn from the ACC tournament and ended their season after a positive COVID test within the program. Their game against Florida State yesterday was canceled. This will snap the Blue Devils' streak of 24 consecutive trips to the NCAA tournament. In the same event, North Carolina was down 3 at the half to Virginia Tech, but in the second half, they stormed back, beat the Hokies 81-73, winning that quarterfinal matchup, so they will take on Florida State later today in the ACC semifinals. And we're running the floor, but with the college kids here, Patrick Ewing and Georgetown making some noise at MSG again, upsetting number 14 Villanova 72-71 in the Big East quarters last night. They're on to the Big East semis for the first time in 6 years. And after the game, listen to their coach, Patrick Ewing. He was not happy.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
His number is in the rafters. And look at our favorite Hoya, Dan Graziano. What do you make of the disrespect being shown to your coach?
Tough. It's tough. You know, it just reminds you how old you are, right? If you're Patrick Ewing, if you're somebody who remembers him playing for the Knicks or for Georgetown. But yeah, he's had enough moments in that building that he should be recognizable there. And because of yesterday's result, he's going back today. So I'm wearing all this because I don't expect much more, right? I don't think I'm going to be wearing this on Monday because I don't think they're going to win the Big East tournament. But if they do, I'll have it back on and I'll sing the alma mater on the show.
Am I the only one who thinks right now Graziano looks so young he should be offering to trade you lunches? Like he's got bologna and I've got peanut butter and jelly and he's ready for the trade. That is a youthful look for you right there. Well, whatever it is, whatever lunch meat it is you brought to school, Graziano. All right, we'll take a break. As we continue, how about them Cowboys? A legendary coach offers a blunt assessment of the quarterback decision in Big D. You'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by National Vision, and it takes us to the infamous 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass, where yesterday 35 balls were hit into the water. The over-under for the entire tournament is 43.5, and poor Ben Ahn, he had the worst of it on this day. He hit 4 in the water. Mark him down for an 11. Bob Tway took a 12 in 2005, the worst score ever on this hole. Coming up, it has gone from bad to worse. Are the Texans any closer to trading Deshaun Watson? You've got to see 2 awkward exchanges from yesterday, and you will, as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we welcome you back to Get Up with further breaking news. This just into our newsroom moments ago from the world of college basketball. The ACC has announced that the game between Georgia Tech and Virginia today, a semifinal game in the ACC men's basketball tournament, has been canceled. The game was supposed to be played this evening, but the cancellation follows a positive test, subsequent quarantining, and contact tracing within the Virginia men's basketball program. They are adhering to the outlined protocols within the ACC Medical Advisory Group report. This means that Georgia Tech will advance to the ACC championship game tomorrow. They will play the winner of tonight's game between Florida State and North Carolina, which will now tip at 8:30 Eastern tonight on ESPN. My apologies for looking down, but I was reading that off my phone. We are literally just getting it. Again, Virginia has had to pull out of the ACC tournament because of a positive test. What this means for them in the NCAA tournament next week, obviously, we do not know now. We know they will not play their ACC semifinal game today, and so Georgia Tech will move on to the championship game. That is one breaking story we have this morning. The other, from about an hour ago, the New England Patriots are finalizing a one-year deal worth close to $14 million for Cam Newton. He's coming back to Foxborough, our Adam Schefter confirming reporting from the Boston Globe. We've been talking about that this morning, and right now I'm delighted to bring Lewis Riddick into this conversation. He is with us from Trey Lance's Pro Day, which is coming up in just a few hours, and we're certainly looking forward to that. But first, Lewis, let's get your reaction to this. Cam coming back to Foxborough for a one-year deal. We're told the numbers come in around $14 million. What do you think?
Look, I'm not surprised at all, Greeny. I think New England needed to do a couple things. Number one, they needed to have a starting caliber quarterback on the roster right now that would give them the flexibility of, number one, being able to tell other prospective free agent recruits, hey, look, we do have a plan as far as our quarterback situation is concerned. And do not be misled about the fact that Cam struggled last year because, look, we didn't have any people really to surround him. So as they're recruiting prospective, you know, tight ends and wide receivers, I think they have a selling point there to those guys. And then number two, I think, look, as you move forward here up to the draft, they cannot just sit around and wait for, you know, hopeful scenarios to come to fruition as far as, you know, prospective free agents at quarterback like Deshaun Watson and maybe Russell Wilson to really come to fruition. They can't, you know, bank on that. And they can't bank on the fact that maybe when the draft comes around that their guy is going to be there when it comes time for them to pick or that they're going to be able to move up and maybe select the quarterback that they want. So they have some flexibility that way as well. So really it's a twofold issue. And then number three, I think New England overall looks at Cam's situation last year, Greeny, and says, hey, look, we got him so late in the process that he was playing catch up the entire season. And when we talked to him during production meetings for Monday Night Football, he spoke about the fact that every week he was trying to learn something new. Every week it was like starting over from scratch and trying to learn the things that normally you would learn in the offseason during OTAs and mini camp and then in a regular training camp. He was trying to do that during the season while also get prepared for an opponent. So he was really behind the eight ball the entire season. Then he got COVID. Then their practice schedules were disrupted. So it wasn't set up for him to succeed in any way, shape, or form. Bill understands that too. And I think you'll see a much different Cam Newton this year, given the fact that he'll have an offseason and they're going to have much better weapons around him.
I think that's a really important point to make. And Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots, told us earlier that if he had to handicap it right now, and obviously so much can happen, he thinks there is a strong likelihood that Cam is their starter when week one of the season rolls around. Sure. Okay, now it is time, Lewis, for your favorite. It's the Chronicles of Riddick.
I'm just going to give him a pass because he don't even know how dumb that was. You were the number one overall pick in the draft.
Well, if somebody has to go, it's going to be you.
Wait, no, let me finish. With that comes the expectation that you're going to have a QBR better than five.
Get that, hold on. I anticipate just getting ugly.
There is nothing better than when Lewis Riddick gets going. All right, Lewis, what is a team that needs to nail this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's the one right there on the screen. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. I think this is a football team that expectations now need to be met as far as them being able to truly challenge Kansas City in the AFC West. And I know everybody here, you know, the first thing people want to point to is the fact that they need to improve the offense. They need to get a better quarterback. They need to be in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes. No, they need to fix this defense. They put a lot of assets into that side of the football, but it hasn't given them the return on investment. They need to make some strides on that side of the ball.
Next up, if the Browns do decide to trade Odell Beckham Jr., where would you like to see him go?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to see him up in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams? Odell Beckham on one side, maybe you can move him into the slot as well and just move him around because that's what he is. He's a multidimensional weapon. And this is a guy who really, at this point in his career, I think you would just absolutely see Odell take his game to a whole new level if he was playing with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't played with anybody like that of that caliber, and I think it would really put Green Bay in contention for being the NFC representative in the Super Bowl.
And then the next one, you are there for Trey Lance's pro day. Give me a comparison. Who is he comparable to in the NFL?
Yeah, every time I watch him, Greeny, he just reminds me of Josh Allen, both in terms of what he needs to work on to get better at the present time and then what he can ultimately become, as we saw what Josh Allen became just this past year where he just ripped it up, was in the MVP conversation for a large part of the regular season. Look, he's big, he's physical, he can run the football, he can throw the ball off platform, he's a great leader, he's got a great mental engine, meaning there's just a lot of stuff you can put on his plate and he can handle. Trey Lance is going to show today that he's a force to be reckoned with and someone who is going to have to be considered in the top 10 picks of this draft.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make. Fans across the country should be paying close attention. This is a guy who is going to go in the top 10. Most of the projections we're seeing right now have him going in the top 5. And Matt Miller, who is another of our draft insiders, has a different comparison, just as fascinating, for Trey Lance.
He reminds me of Lamar Jackson. And the reason for that is I think year one, Trey Lance can be a starting quarterback in the NFL because of his athleticism. He's 225 pounds. He's ready right now as a runner and a thrower. So that's why I compare him to Lamar Jackson. Get him on the field year one. Let him beat teams with his athleticism and his arm strength. And then year two, ramp up. Year two, what did Lamar Jackson do? Won the MVP. If I'm the Carolina Panthers and I draft him, my blueprint is exactly what we saw happen with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
So these are some pretty good comparisons. I mean, Lewis, if you're talking about Josh Allen and Matt is talking about Lamar Jackson, you're talking about a guy who has been the MVP and a guy who figures to be in that discussion in coming years. But Tim Hasselbeck and I were talking this morning, and Tim, I'd love you to bring up your question for Lewis because he's there to see it. And I think this is something a lot of fans will be wondering about.
Yeah, and I think Lewis could provide a ton of insight in terms of, you know, how you kind of get over some of the issues you face when you watch Trey Lance. And Lou, my question is, you know, you see a guy dominate at that level, but then you look at the two guys that played in front of him, Easton Stick and Carson Wentz. They dominated at that program as well, at that level of competition. Then you consider the sample size being small. Like, I want to know how the conversation goes to justify, yes, we all see the traits, but how do you know that he can translate to the type of passer that Josh Allen is? Because the sample size isn't there, and then the previous guys that did it before him did it at a high level also.
Yeah, I think number one, look, I think the sample size, Tim, is really the thing that people are going to, that's what's going to cause people to pause the most. Because when you look at it in this context, what kind of offense were they running here at North Dakota State? And what kind of responsibility were they putting on a guy like Trey Lance, both pre-snap and post-snap? And I can just tell you this, their offense, when you look at it, it looks NFL type. Look, there's a lot of 22 personnel, 21 personnel, 12 personnel, two tight ends, two wide receivers. You see 11 personnel, and you see Trey at the line of scrimmage, Tim, looking at the defense, changing the protections, changing the play call, whether it be from run to pass, pass to run. You see full field reads. You see him working from under center, five-step play action, seven-step play action, straight drop back, moving the pocket. And I'm telling you what, in that context, I don't care who's on the other side. I don't care if my high school is on the other side. He looks comfortable, and he looks like someone who knows exactly what it is that he's supposed to be doing in the context of this offense. And this coaching staff up here, look, it's very well respected, whether it's FCS, FBS, they are very well respected. And their offense is very high level in terms of the amount of responsibility it puts on a quarterback. So with all that being said, yeah, would we have liked to have seen him compete against a team like Alabama and Clemson and start for 2-3 years? Of course we would. But look, it is what it is here as far as him coming out at this point in time in his career and not having that kind of resume. And I'll tell you this, if I was betting on the future, given what this young man brings to the table both physically and mentally, I'm betting on Trey Lance. No question about it.
And you saw on that mock draft there, I mean, McShay has Trey Lance going fourth overall in this draft. So we're talking about that high. And I want to make sure everyone knows the small sample size, which is fair, it's accurate, it's also not his fault. He didn't opt out of a season or anything else. They didn't play a season. They just played one game this year. He played in it. It was unique. They were really trying to give him a showcase. He did not have a particularly good day, but those circumstances are so unusual as to be unprecedented. It's kind of hard to hold that against him. Lewis, we'll look forward to your coverage of this pro day as our day goes on here. Really interested to see how Trey Lance does. Meanwhile, as we continue, how about this Cowboy? A legendary coach offers a blunt assessment. You'll hear it next. Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5. Meanwhile, Champ Week rolls on today at the SEC Men's Tournament. Quarterfinal games noon and 2:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Mississippi State taking on the one seed Alabama in our first game. Then it's Florida and Tennessee. Great action coming your way today right here on ESPN, which is where you find us every weekday morning. Greeny with you. Get up on ESPN. Commercial free now for the next 15 minutes, taking you right to the top of the hour on ESPN, and that's when First Take will take over with reaction to the breaking news of this morning. Is it a good move for the Patriots to bring back Cam Newton? Max, Stephen A. and Molly will discuss that and more coming up next. Again, we are commercial free from now until then. And we pick it up here. One day after Dak Prescott signed his $160 million deal, the Cowboys posted a video of him working out. You might call it a hype video. His ankle looks pretty good. With a new deal comes championship expectations. The question is, can Dak get them there? Here's Cowboys legend Jimmy Johnson.
I like Dak, and I think he can win you a championship if he has great players around him. I don't think Dak can carry a football team if he doesn't have great players around him.
Okay, so there's something about that that I find a little bit confusing. Louis Riddick, if you're there, I don't believe Louis can hear me. Louis, do you hear me? I see him shaking his head. No, let me go to Bart. Bart, when you hear Jimmy Johnson say he can win you games, but you have to have great players around him, what does that sound like to you?
I mean, that's Captain Obvious, right? Of course he needs great players around him. You know, you look on the offensive side of the ball, he has that. He has premier receivers. He has a good running back. And if I think Tyron Smith can come back and be the dominant left tackle that he is, he's going to have blind side protection. Just take a look at what he did his first five games last year. Threw for 380, 570, 522, 560, 402. That's elite right there, Greeny. So he can give you enough production on the offensive side of the ball. The question is, can Dan Quinn on the other side and can the organization be able to manage the team and be able to draft well and also get important free agents? That's why I believe like the acquisition of Keanu Neal this year would be an improvement to the defense, give them some thump, and going out to get a guy like Patrick Surtain. And that's going to give him enough to be successful, especially in that weak division, Greeny.
It's an interesting way of putting it. Yes, the division has been less than spectacular. But Dan Graziano, you were making a point earlier today that this is a phrase that perhaps we overuse, and maybe it doesn't mean what it sounds like it means.
Yeah, I think what Jimmy Johnson is talking about is, look, Dak Prescott is one of the very, very good quarterbacks in this league, but there is a tier of guys that above him, a very small tier of guys that you look at and say, these are guys, if we win, we can win because of this guy. That's Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, guys like that. Whereas then you move down to the next tier of still very high-level players, and you say, we can win with this guy. We just got to make sure that the team is right around it. It's not insulting. I mean, this is just, there are plenty of guys that wish they were in that group that Jimmy Johnson is referring to when he talks about Dak Prescott. But you look at his career. Look, he comes in, he starts as a rookie behind maybe the best offensive line he'll ever play behind with Ezekiel Elliott at the peak of his powers. As we move further into Dak Prescott's career, more will be asked of him. And the contract reflects that, obviously. So we'll see how that develops. But yeah, I think he's perceived as a guy who's very good, but still obviously is not the kind of guy who's going to win something for you by himself.
I think the way you put that is right, because it's not meant to be insulting, and yet it does, Tim Hasselbeck, somehow sound like you're diminishing him a little bit, right? There's really no way to hear that and not think you're diminishing him at least a little bit by saying it. How do you hear it as a quarterback?
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. I think Dan makes a great point, and I think you're right about, you know, it is kind of this backhanded compliment. Like, yeah, you can win a championship, but man, you need all this supporting cast. Like, I would argue that we kind of overstate the guys that teams are winning because of. Look, Aaron Rodgers hasn't won a Super Bowl in a while, right? And they've been a team that's really struggled at times. No one doubts that he's not great and doesn't make people around him better. Look, we saw what Patrick Mahomes looked like in a Super Bowl without good starting tackles. You know, that's an issue. So I just would say that everybody needs a supporting cast. Part of the reason Brady left New England is I think he wanted a better supporting cast. And he played with great players like Rob Gronkowski. So, look, it's a dependent position, plain and simple, even if you are a guy that's one of the best. Look at Deshaun Watson. I know it would be hard to argue that he's not great, but he's not good enough to make everyone around him that much better to win. It's still a dependent position.
He's the perfect example. He had one of the genuinely great seasons in NFL history last year. His team went 4-12. That is why he wants out. And that brings us to our next issue today. So I want to play you two different sound bites, if you will, from the new head coach of the Houston Texans, David Culley. He had himself quite a day yesterday. He's someone you probably have not gotten used to yet. He's only been in that role for a short time. I'm going to first off show you some of his press conference from yesterday afternoon. These will be the 60 most awkward seconds you spend today.
Now, we are very committed to Deshaun as our quarterback. He is our quarterback. He's the only guy we got under contract at this time right now.
Does the organization believe that you can get him to change his mind?
Well, it's not a matter of me trying to change anybody's mind. As I said before, right now we're committed to him. He's a Houston Texan, and we're going to move forward with that.
But if he doesn't want to be a Houston Texan, how does this situation get resolved?
I don't know about him not wanting to be a Houston Texan, but what I hear from the outside, I just know that he's a Houston Texan. He's ours. We're committed to him, and we're going to go with that.
Is he committed to you and the team?
Yes, he is.
How do you know that?
Well, he's a Houston Texan. And again, I know that I feel like that with the commitment that we've made to him, and I feel like that same commitment will be there with us also moving forward.
That was excruciating, and it went on for a very long time, and that was when you send the coach out there with no answers when the people who could actually answer the questions are refusing to do so. Having said that, earlier in the day, David Culley was in an entirely different mood and saying sort of different things when he appeared on a podcast with Jim Trotter and Steve Weich. It's called Huddle and Flow. Here was that.
Will Deshaun Watson be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans in 2021?
He is our starting quarterback as of right now. He is our starting quarterback. Things happen between now and then, and then we'll see what happens.
See, Jimmy, Coach, you just open the door.
He hit us with the right now.
Just open the right door now. Right now, exactly. You've been around, Coach. You know better.
He is our starting quarterback.
Right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. Right now, and hopefully in the future.
Now, we'll point out that second thing you saw took place first. That was the first conversation he had. And then, Dan Graziano, we can imagine some other conversations might have taken place before he came out and was peppered with all those other questions.
So you want to be an NFL head coach, huh, David Culley? This is the life, right? Look, you go on the podcast, you're joking around, you're being sort of mildly transparent and honest as you can be. And then you have a press conference in the afternoon. But before that, hey, come on in. We want to talk to you, David, before this press conference. This is what we wish you hadn't said on that interview. Here's what we'd like you to say in the press conference. Stick to this idea that he's a Houston Texan. We're committed to him. Say that over and over again. And obviously you saw a guy in David Culley at that press conference who was very uncomfortable answering those questions in the way that that he had to. It's we know that Deshaun Watson has expressed to him directly that he doesn't want to play for the team. So he's out there telling people things that we know aren't true. That's a very difficult situation for someone to be in.
Look, and let's just say it. He is at best fourth on the list of people who should be answering those questions. The owner, Cal McNair, the guy who's running everything, Jack Easterby, and the general manager, Nick Cazario, could answer those questions if they want to, but they don't feel like being peppered like that, so they send the coach out there as the sacrificial lamb. He has nothing to say. Bart Scott, so as we hear all of that, it does beg the question. This thing feels like it's coming to an end quickly. Is there a team out there you could identify that you think should be going after him right now? Who should be going after Deshaun Watson right now?
Well, I think the Miami Dolphins should be going after, you know, Deshaun Watson. I think the Jets should wait and see what they have in Sam Darnold. I think that, you know, the Miami Dolphins could have an opportunity to improve their football team very quickly. They were very active last year in free agency. This would be an opportunity for them to put the cherry on top. This would definitely give them the best quarterback in the division to give them the opportunity to really compete against the Buffalo Bills and have an opportunity to potentially win the Super Bowl if they have a good enough draft. Now, how much of that draft capital that the Dolphins have with that take, it's probably going to take everything they have and maybe a player. But I think if I'm the Dolphins, I definitely would go do that.
And they also have something to give back that the Texans may like. They could offer the third pick in the draft, which could turn into a quarterback. They could offer Tua, which maybe the Texans would be excited about. And Tim, I know you have another team who has a similar circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't disagree with Bart. I would say the Jets are a team that kind of, you know, check a lot of those same boxes as well. And I understand, and I would agree, that it probably, for me anyway, would be too early to give up on Sam Darnold. But what it does do is it kind of resets the clock there at the position. You have a guy under contract that you know for a while can play at the position. It could solve a problem for Houston with Sam Darnold or a pick, because obviously they have the number two pick. So, look, I think the Jets, their ammunition and the pressure that is there. They haven't gotten quarterback right in a long time. And so I think that even with a first-year head coach, there is pressure to get it fixed soon.
Okay, so we will leave that there. Again, it was an awkward day in Houston. It is a terrible situation involving their quarterback, and we will see if there is any resolution to it anytime soon. Meanwhile, it's been a day filled with breaking news already, and we are just getting started. And it begins with this. Cam Newton and the Patriots are finalizing a one-year deal worth close to $14 million for Cam to return to New England. That was first reported by the Boston Globe. It has subsequently been confirmed by our Adam Schefter. And so for those just joining us again, we had Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots closely for us, tell us he thinks that there is a real likelihood that when it's all said and done, Cam is the starter in New England this year. If that is the case, Tim Hasselbeck, depending on what they put around him, and they have a lot of free agent dollars to spend, and they have the 15th pick in the draft and others. But if Cam has a full year to be in place there, do you believe the Patriots can win big with Cam Newton as their quarterback?
I don't. I think that it's come and gone for Cam Newton. And look, he hasn't had a really good season since 2018. So, you know, if we're going to look at production, his production as a passer last year, no matter how we want to talk about the offseason, things like that, there were other guys that changed teams that passed the ball successfully this past season. Cam wasn't one of them. 8 touchdowns, 10 picks. That's just not good enough in a passing league. And then you factor in the, you know, his injury history and the fact that the way that he plays probably leads to him being banged up again. So for me, I think this is an insurance policy. Would not be surprised if someone other than Cam Newton starts the majority of the games at quarterback for New England.
What do you think, Bart?
Well, you definitely had to have a quarterback in place to be able to say, okay, you know, if we were trying to fill the roster, trying to get free agents, that we can be able to say we have a quarterback. But also when you think about the fact that you can use Cam potentially as a trade chip to Washington, I think they would have did a much better job in maybe going after a veteran quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is a tremendous bridge quarterback. I know he doesn't want to play the role of mentor. He was hurt last year when Tua got the job. But, you know, you want to bring in a young guy like Mac Jones. You have a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick who's still lively, who can still make all the throws, you know, who's either Fitzmagic or Fitztragic. You would have had a better chance in maybe getting some of these receivers to want to come there, because one thing we know about Fitzmagic, he can air the ball out and he can put up some good production in the passing game.
I'm with you. That's the one that I really thought New England would go after. And his QBR, sneaky big news, his QBR has been extraordinarily high the last 3 years. When he has played very well. So, Dan, let's go through what some of the other options out there might be. What if it isn't going to be Cam, what other options figure to be available to New England?
When you ask around the league prior to today, and you know, what do you think New England's going to do at quarterback, a lot of people speculate that they would try and get Jimmy Garoppolo back from the 49ers. We know that you know, he has no more guaranteed money left on his deal, but the Niners have been publicly committed to Jimmy Garoppolo, and if they were to trade him back to New England, it would only be because they felt they had secured another option. So we don't know if that's a realistic possibility for Bill Belichick. The other possibilities at this point, you mentioned guys, veterans like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith out there on the free agent market. Marcus Mariota is a guy that's available in trade from the Raiders, could end up getting cut if they aren't able to trade him. So he's someone who's intriguing to teams. You know, you want to take a shot on Mitchell Trubisky, he's out there. Those are the kinds of options they're looking at right now. And Cam Newton, obviously, a big part of that group. They know him well.
Any of those jump out to you? I've got 30 seconds, Tim Hasselbeck. Any of those jump out, any of those you like?
Well, look, I've said that I think Marcus Mariota would be a great fit there. I think it's telling that they signed Cam Newton, and what we are talking about is guys that are in that group. I think it probably tells you all you need to know about what the prospects going forward are for Cam Newton as the starting quarterback there in New England. But Marcus would be the guy.
We'll see. That feels like it could be a fit, and we'll see if it happens. Again, Trey Lance has a pro day today. There are 5 quarterbacks who figure to go early in the first round of this year's draft. The Patriots pick at 15. If they want to get one of them, they will probably have to move up. So that is one piece of breaking news that we had this morning. There is another, and that is from college basketball. Virginia is out of the ACC tournament following a positive COVID test within the program. They were scheduled to play Georgia Tech in the conference tournament semifinals tonight. So now Georgia Tech advances to tomorrow night's championship game. Instead, Virginia is the second ACC team in as many days forced to withdraw from the tournament due to COVID issues. Duke was forced out yesterday. That's all the time that we have. Thanks so much for getting up with us. Have a great weekend. First Take starts now.